All right, we're beginning here on the top of Lamed Chet Mem Aleph by the new perek. The perek is, in generally, a difficult perek. Part of that has to do with the fact that it involves Techelet. And Techelet is an art that was lost back already in the time of the Amoraim. There are numerous factors that contributed to that problem. One of which was the fact that the Romans put in decrees that didn't allow people to use Techelet and Argaman for personal use. That it was reserved for royalty, or was reserved for political uses, and that the Jews were restricted from using it. That obviously, first of all, drove the prices up, but also made it very hard for people to get the Techelet. The other part of it is that there were cheaper alternatives that came up, including Kala Ilan, which we'll see later on in the Perek, which is a replacement, which is problematic, which has similar properties to the Techelet, but is not Techelet. It's probably something along the lines of indigo. Is both the plant and the color, but it was a much cheaper substitute. And so then there was a lot of cheating that went on in terms of people selling Kala Ilan as Techelet. And the Gemara here in other places speaks about testing and figuring out whether it really is Techelet or whether it's a fake. But those fakes cause problems halachically, because we'll see that there are issues that arise when you don't have Techelet or you're not using the proper Techelet. In addition to the fact that it was also some sort of art form, which is that you had to get the item or the object from which you get the Techelet, which we'll discuss and give some of the properties, but not exactly the properties of what it is. And based on what today they have rediscovered involves snail or shell that is found in the Mediterranean, they have to go in and collect, and involve, again, a certain amount of knowledge, a certain amount of processing information in order to make the Techelet. And so slowly, a lot of that is lost over time, and the Masorah for it is lost over time, and it makes that Techelet disappears. When Techelet disappears, you have a mitzvah that's left over that's missing one of the integral parts, the focal points of the mitzvah, and then you have what's left over of the mitzvah, and the question is, what do you have left of the mitzvah? Even before you discuss that, you have to understand what the mitzvah was before we lost Techelet, and that's really come to the forefront again in the modern era because of the claims of finding the Techelet now, and having Techelet, the question is how to make tzitzit with Techelet, and then how did the Rishonim deal with the Techelet. There are numerous Midrashei Halacha that are found, both that are found in Sefer Bamidbar, on the Parsha of Tzitzit in Sefer Bamidbar, as well as on the Pasuk in Dvarim, which also involves tzitzit. The issue of tzitzit comes up in another context, which is Asei Docha Lo Taseh, but the issue of the clash between tzitzit and shatneis, we'll bump into it today, but it does play a prominent role in the issue of tzitzit, as well as what we have here in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. And there are many stirot between the Midrashei Halacha, and you can see the Halacha slowly developing, but it doesn't develop as strongly because of this missing Techelet. And therefore, the Rishonim are grappling with certain aspects of what the Halacha is, and how do we get from one place to the other. We'll see that right away when we start the Mishnah, that the Baalei Tosafot are asking very fundamental questions that we would have assumed that are givens. So that's number one, just as background for the Perek. In addition, in the Perek, we have many statements in the Perek which are difficult to understand, and the interpretation of them is going to be influenced both by how you view the interplay between Techelet and Lavan, as well as what you think is done when you put the Techelet and the Lavan together. That will also influence how you interpret certain parts of the Perek. So again, we'll go in a minute into all of this, but just as a broad background, that just have to pay attention to these little nuances because they're influenced heavily the way that you read the Gemara. First of which is the Mishnah begins, the Techelet, Einu Me'akevet et Lavan. The Techelet is not Me'akev Lavan, which already indicates that there are two parts to the Tzitzit. There's Techelet and there is Lavan. But Lavan, Einu Me'akevet et Techelet. And similarly, the Lavan, the white, is not Me'akev the Techelet. So here, just in those few words in the Mishnah, you have an understanding that there is two components here, Techelet and Lavan, which we'll discuss in 1 minute. In addition, the word Techelet over here clearly means something besides Lavan. So Techelet, we know from the Big Day Kuhuna and other places in Tanakh, that Techelet is wool that is dyed by the color Techelet. So that's a given in terms of what the Techelet is. The term Techelet, here in the Mishnah, it's clear that the word Techelet here means as opposed to the white part of the tzitzit. But many other times where the word Techelet is used throughout Shas, there is a machloket in the Rishonim as to whether the word there Techelet means literally Techelet, Or is tchelet just a replacement word or a synonym for tzitzit? Since tchelet is an important part of the tzitzit, or maybe even the focal point of tzitzit, so maybe tzitzit in general are known as tchelet. So we're going to see even in today's daf, but we'll see this throughout the perek, when the Gemara uses the term tchelet, Rashi often will say it refers to tzitzit as a whole, not just to the strings of tchelet. On the other hand, the Rambam in general will take the other approach, which is whenever it says tchelet, it literally means the string of tchelet, not the tzitzit as a whole. Again, that will influence how you read the Gemara. In the Mishnah, it's clear that the tchelet and the lavan are separate because of the fact that it mentions the lavan, so obviously your tchelet does not mean tzitzit. Tchelet means the blue strings. Tfilah shel yad, eino me'akev et shel rosh. The tfilin shel yad are not me'akev, the tfilin shel rosh. The shel rosh, eino me'akev et shel yad. And the shel rosh is not me'akev shel yad. The second half, the latter part of the Mishnah, is clear what it's saying. It's saying that you have a tefillin shel yad and a tefillin shel rosh, and they are separate and independent. That means that you can put on a tefillin shel yad even though you don't have a tefillin shel rosh, or you can put on a tefillin shel rosh even though you don't have a tefillin shel yad. That part of the Mishnah is clear. You have two mitzvot, and the mitzvot are independent. And that independence makes it that they're not me'akev. One does not integral to the accomplishment of the other, and you can separate them. The question is that true of the first half of the Mishnah? How much influence for how connected are the two halves of the Mishnah? And then that will go to, first of all, how you explain the first half of the Mishnah, as well as your understanding of the Mishnah. So we're just going to read the psukim. There are two main parshiot in terms of tzitzit. One is in the end of Parshat Shlach, which is the one that we know we say every day in Kriyat Shema, the Parshat Tzitzit that's found there. In addition, there is a pasuk that's found in Sefer Dorim, which is also very influential over here. It says, in terms of the tzitzit in Bamidbar, the Beryl B'nai Yisrael, v'matalehem, v'asulehem tzitzit, al kanfei bigdehem l'dorotam. They will be on the corners of their bigadim. This game will be important. V'natnu al tzitzit ha-kanaf p'til t'chelet. On the tzitzit of the kanaf, you will put a p'til t'chelet. You will put what seems to be a string of t'chelet. The word p'til can be interpreted two ways, and that is actually a machloket in the Rishonim, how to understand it, which has influenced even the halacha, which is the word p'til can mean to be shazur, can mean to be twisted or entwined, so that when you're making a string, you have to draw the string when you make it out of wool, and then besides drawing the string, you actually have to twine the string together. The question of whether you need shazur for tzitzit depends on how you interpret this word p'til. The other thing that the word p'til can mean is to wrap around. So this p'til t'chelet also could be something that wraps around and is used to as a wrapping agent. So depending on how you interpret the word p'til will influence whether you first of all think that tzitzit need to be shazur, do they need to be twisted, twined, or whether it needs to be wrapped around. That's the word p'til t'chelet. V'yalachem l'tzitzit, uritem oto. So now, first of all, it's interesting, the word oto, you will see it in the singular, not otam, which seems to indicate that the re'iyah is connected back to the p'til t'chelet, and that is the essential part of the re'iyah. U'zechartem el kol mitzvot Hashem v'asitem otam, v'lo tatur achrei levavchem v'achrei neichem asher atem zonim achreim. Again, it's not a parsha shir, but there's tremendous amounts to be said here. V'lo tatur achrei levavchem v'achrei neichem is a clear reference back to the miraglim and the tour at the Aretz, and what they saw, and what they, in the end, said. That's clearly connected to this. Also, the p'til t'chelet, which shows up here, shows up by the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol, is also important connections, as well as the word tzitzit, connection to the word tzitz. Again, all of these are important factors in trying to determine hashkafically what tzitzit are, as well as what you're expecting from the tzitzit, or what you think the tzitzit will look like, and what impact they have on an individual who wears tzitzit. So that's the first parshiyah that we have here in Parshat Shlach. There we have a couple of key words that are going to come up in today's daf as well. One of them is kanaf, the corner. The other one is the word tzitzit in general. And the other one is p'til t'chelet. Sefer Dvarim in Parshat Kiteitse, we also find a pasuk, but as a juxtaposition, the previous pasuk says, lo tubash shatneiz. The next pasuk says, "Gdilim tazelach al arba kanfot sutcha asher techaseba." So here again, this is important in terms of the construction of tzitzit. The first thing is gdilim. Gdilim will be an important aspect. Gdilim in general seem to be wrapped together or interlocking in some way. Gedil is to be almost like braided in the usage in the Torah. And so gedilim tasselach means some sort of braided or intertwined type of strings you're going to have. The fact that it says gedilim in plural also seems to indicate that we're dealing with more than one of whatever item is that we have here. And they are arba kanfot k'sutcha asher techaseba. They're on the four corners. That's important. Again, here's the word arba, which we don't have in Parshat Shlach. And k'sutcha asher techaseba is also important. It has to be clothing that you wear. Asher techaseba, something that is used to cover you, something that's used as clothing that will eliminate many items that might have four corners, but are not clothing. The interplay between the word gedilim and the words til tchelet will determine how you, as a Rishon, read the Gemaras, as well as how you explain what's happening here. Let me explain that the construction of the tzitzit involved four strings. Those four strings are looped through a hole in the corner of the baguette. So then once you've looped them through, you now have eight strings, because four fall to each side. The fact that there are four strings, we take it for a given, but that is not such a given. It's machlok and Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Also machlok within the Midrashei Halacha. And we're going to see even today that even the Baalei Tosafot are not so sure how many strings we're actually going to have in our tzitzit. But you have these four strings that come around, and you have to tie them. You have to knot them together. Then there's a requirement for what's called gedil. There's a requirement for an area of the tzitzit which are braided, wrapped, knotted, however you want to call it, but there's some sort of intertwining of the strings that exist. After that gedil, there's something called an anaf. An anaf are the free strings that fall after you have the gedil. Now the gedil is obviously driven by the word gedilim over here. The anaf is driven by the fact that the word tzitzit. Tzitzit is also used in terms of like tzitzit lo shel, which means the little hairs in the front or the curls in the front of the hair. So that means that these are things that hang down or drop down, and the word tzitzit is used that way. It means to be small strings at the end of a beged are called tzitzit, not even anything to do with the mitzvah. So that's a tzitzit or tzitzin. All these words mean something that is straggly or hangs down, and that's the anaf, which are the free strings that fall from the tzitzit. So you have two parts, you have the gedil and you have the anaf. And then the question is, how do you build the gedil? And that's going to have to do with how you view this interplay between Tchelet and Lavan. There are three basic shitot in terms of Tchelet and Lavan. All the other shitot are really derivations of these three shitot. And again, the how you read the Gemara will be influenced by what you think. We'll start with the Rambam. The Rambam has the most unusual in terms of interpretation of the Psukim. In some ways, it's simple and elegant. In other ways, it's very difficult. So the Rambam says that you have eight strings. Those eight strings comprise the tzitzit. The Torah tells you here that you have a p'til techelet. And according to the Rambam, the p'til techelet serves one purpose. And that is to wrap around the other strings, the white strings that you have. You only need one string to do that. One out of eight strings. That means that the Rambam believes that you have three completely white strings. You have a fourth string, of which half of it is techelet, half of it is white. Then when you loop it through, you now have seven white strings and one techelet string. That techelet string will be used to wrap around the white strings. That's the only purpose of the techelet. The techelet has no purpose in terms of being the tzitzit. It's simply the coilings and the wrappings that go around the white tzitzit. And without white tzitzit, the tchelet doesn't do anything because the tchelet is only there to wrap around the white tzitzit that you have. So the Rambam says that's the p'til tchelet. That's what the word p'til means. P'til means to wrap around. And the p'til is what we use for the wrappings. For the version of the Rambam, again, I'll send this out. I don't know if I'll send it out in today's daf, but later on when we discuss the way to make the tzitzit once you have tchelet, the different shitot, it's clear what the Rambam is going to think. Rambam's going to think that we have what are called the krichot, these wrappings that go around that create these four sections that we have in terms of wrappings with knots. He's going to think the only thing that you're wrapping with is the p'til techelet, is the blue string, and that's what's used. You only have blue that's wrapped around, the white always flows through, and at the bottom the white drops out. So that's the view of the Rambam. The Raivud has what seemingly is the Rambam's view, just a little more extended. which is that the Ra'ivet believes that you have one string that is completely blue, Techelet, and you have three strings that are completely white. So that is, the Ptil Techelet, you would have said over here, is the blue string. And then the Gdilim, which is plurality, is three strings. We'll see that in the Gemara and Mishnah Shalacha, that Gedil means two. Gedilim can either mean three or four. So it means more than two. So now Gedilim is three, so you have three white strings. And then you could have thought that all the Ravid was doing is saying that when the Rambam says you have a half string that's blue and half string that's white, doesn't make sense. Til Techelet means there's a whole string that's made out of Techelet. We know that that's not the view of the Ra'ivot, even though it would be appealing to say that he doesn't really argue so much in the Rambam, just the extent of the blue string. But we know that's not true, because the Ra'ivot says that when it comes to the krichot, the wrappings around the tzitzit, you wrap with the white and the blue. So he doesn't see the Ptil Techelet as simply being something that you wrap around the white strings, because he also wraps white and blue around the tzitzit, and that shows you that's not what he's thinking. So he has a more fundamental machloket with the Rambam. Number one is that the Ptil Techelet is not the only thing that is wrapping around. That's number one. And number two is that Ptil Techelet is a whole string of Techelet, not just a half string of Techelet. The third view is the view of Rashi and the Balei HaTosafot, and they believe that you have, what in essence is, two equal mitzvot over here. You have a mitzvah of Techelet, and you have a mitzvah of Lavan. Two strings are going to be Techelet, two strings are going to be Lavan. It's a mitzvah that is comprised of two halves. A half which involves two strings of white, half which is two strings of Techelet. And therefore, obviously, for them, it's not even a question that when it comes to the wrapping of the krichot, that the white and the blue are going to interplay with each other. You're not just going to have Techelet wrapping around white, you're going to have white and blue that are going to wrap, because they have a certain amount of equality between them. So that equality leads us to you having two Techelet and to Lavan. So now, when it comes to the reading of the Mishnah, the Tosafot's view of the reading of the Mishnah and Rashi's view of reading the Mishnah is the simplest, which is Atchelet Eino Me'akevet Et Lavan, means that those two strings of Techelet are not Me'akev the two strings of white. You have two different mitzvot, you have mitzvah of Lavan, mitzvah of Techelet, and just like the Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, the Yad doesn't stop you from doing the Rosh, and the Rosh doesn't stop you doing the Yad. So too, not having Techelet doesn't stop you from doing the white part of the mitzvah. Or vice versa, that the Lavan ain't a makevet the Techelet. You don't have the white strings, then you can have strings of Techelet. Completely understandable, and the Mishnah makes a lot of sense. The only thing you would have expected from Rashi and the Balei Tosafot is, the Mishnah is telling you, when you don't have Techelet, how many strings do you have in your tzitzit? Two. Because you don't have the Techelet, you just have the two white strings left, so you have two strings left in your tzitzit. Yet, Rashi over here says, Ve'e avid arbatan techelet or arbatan lavan yatzah. You make all four strings white, or you make all four strings techelet, you're yotzei the mitzvah. Where did Rashi get four strings of techelet and four strings of white? And that's the first thing the Balei HaTosafot asks. He says, from what I read here, he says, mitzvah letet bet chutim techelet u'bet chutim lavan. It's very clear that the mitzvah is two lavan, two techelet, in equal ratio. They are equal. And if I read the Pashtut of Psukim, one does not affect the other. If you put in two strings of one of them, that should be sufficient. That's exactly what the Mishnah is telling you. You need two white, two blue. You put in two blue, you're Yotzei, even if you don't have the white. Put in two white without two blue, you're also Yotzei. That's why the Balei Tosafot say, that's what would have been the simple reading over here. Aval bekuntris perish yavet arbatan techelet or arbatan lavan yatsa. He says the Rashi says that's not the case. But you put in four white or four blue when you're missing the other color. It's not like you just drop it, but you replace it over here. It says v'chein anu noagim. The vayitos mitzvot. That's our minhag, that we have four strings. Like we all know, our tzitzit are comprised of eight strings, which are really four white strings that are folded over into eight strings. So now the Balei Tosafot have the massive Balei Tosafot here trying to figure out how do we get to four strings of white? Or vice versa, how would you get to four strings of Techelet? If the Techelet and Lavan are two strings each, they're not makev each other, I should have had two white, or I should have had two blue, and that's it. Where do I get these four strings or four white strings from? So there are two approaches within this sheet of the Balei Tosafot. which again bifurcates this Balei Tosfot into two deot here. There is the view of the Balei Tor and the Rabbeinu Tam on the second half of today's daf, which is that the additional strings come in as what we'll call replacements for the strings that are missing. You have two white strings, which are the core mitzvah of the white, and then you put in an additional two strings to represent the two strings of Tchelet that would have been there. So the reason you put in four strings is because you have the two white that belong there, and then you have two other white strings which are standing in the place of the Tchelet. On the other hand, the Tosafot brings another view, which is that the word Gedilim means, Gedil means two, Gedilim means four. So there are four strings. And the way that you can get to four strings is you can either get to four strings through two white, two blue, or you can get to four strings through four white. And basically the Torah gives you permission. The Tosafot even here entertains the possibility that you could have tzitzit comprised of four white strings and four blue strings. That would be a total of eight strings versus what we know as four strings. And he says that it wouldn't even be Baal Tosif because the Gedilim applies to both the Laban, to the Tchelet, and the Laban and the Tchelet. Which means that you can either have four strings of white, four strings of blue, or maybe four strings of both, or maybe two strings of both. You have to get to Gedilim, you have to get to four. So that's the other view within the Tosafot, that Gedilim is the driving factor here of four, and then you have to figure out how you get to the four. There are different ways to get to the four here. So that's another view within the Balei Tosafot, as opposed to the Rabbeinu Tam and the Balei Tor would say that the Chelet is replaced by the Lavan, and we'll see why later in today's daf, why that is. But it's being replaced by these white strings. The Balei Tosafot's other view is that these strings are simply the requirement of Gedilim. You have to get to four to accomplish Gedilim. And that can be done in different ways. There are many ways to do that. One of those ways is two Tchelet, two Lavan. That's the optimal mitzvah. But if you don't have the Tchelet, and it's not Ma'akev the Lavan, you're right, the two Lavan are fine by themselves. But you still need to get to Gedilim. And so those four Tzitzit are required to get you to Gedilim, and so if you don't have to kill it, you gotta put something there to get to the Gedilim, and the Torah offers you the opportunity to put four white, four blue, or four made out of two white, two blue, and Tosafot even entertains four white and four blue together without being a problem. So that's how the Balei Tosafot read this Mishnah of Tchelet Eidim HaKev et HaLaban. Now, in terms of their reading, it's very parallel with the Tefillin at the end. It's like the Yad and the Rosh are two different mitzvot. So over here, there's almost two different mitzvot. There's Tchelet and Lavan. They stand independent of each other. If one's missing, the other one's fine. In fact, they have four strings in the end. That's a technicality that you have to deal with, whether you're replacing the Tchelet strings or whether you are just getting to Gedilim, but that's a technicality. The Raivud, seemingly, we don't have enough information about the Raivud because the Raivud only does Hayarot on the Rambam where he disagrees with the Rambam. So it's not clear exactly how the Raivud reads this, but the assumption would be that the Raivud thinks that Tchelet and Lavan, you have three strings of Lavan, you have one of Tchelet. They both function, like the Balei Tosafot would say, in an equal manner. They're just not equal. They're not equal because the Torah says Ptiot Tchelet, one string of blue, and it says Gedilim, which are a minimum of three. So the white strings, you gotta have a minimum of three. The Tchelet, you have to have one string. So the balance is different than the Balei Tosafot. It's not two and two. It's not that they're Shaveh, they're not equal, but nevertheless, they are two separate entities. There's a white entity and a blue entity. And that white entity and the blue entity are not to ma'akev each other. And again, the purpose of the blue string is not only to wrap around the white, because you wrap the white string as well around with the blue string. So that means that there's an interplay between the wrapping and the anaf at the end. And just, it's comprised of one of blue and three of white. So we'd assume that the Ravid reads the Mishnah the same way the Balei Tosafot read it. The Rambam has the most difficulty in reading the Mishnah, because he can't say what the Mishnah says. In terms of he's saying, Atchelet inu me'akevet ha'lavan, that is understandable according to the Rambam. You have white strings. You're missing that blue string that you need to wrap around it. So that's a missing string. That's fine. If you don't have Tchelet, you still have the white strings that are there. The problem for the Rambam is the second half of this, which is, v'alavan inu me'akevet ha'tchelet. The Lavan is not me'akevet ha'tchelet. Rambam can't say that. Because the Rambam says the only purpose of Tchelet is to wrap around white. If there's no white, then there's no purpose to the Tchelet. So he can't say that Balavan inu me'akevet ha'tchelet. And that's exactly what you see in the Mishnah Torah. If you go to the Rambam Mishnah Torah, this is a very different statement. He will take what we are going to learn later on in today's daf and make it into what's called gardumim. Residual strings. Strings that have torn and only have a residual left over. And what he says the Mishnah is talking about in this second case is, Balavan ain't a makebet at the chelet. If you have white strings that tore, and you only have a small residual of that string left, then you can still put on the tchelet. You can still wrap the tchelet around that residual white string, and you have tzitzit. Obviously, that's a very difficult reading of the Mishnah, but the Rambam's forced there by his view of what the p'til tchelet is, because the p'til tchelet standalone is meaningless. It's only that it wraps around the white strings that it has meaning. Without white strings, you don't have a p'til tchelet. You need something to wrap the p'til tchelet around, and it's clear that those are the white strings. So that's why the Rambam reads the second half of this differently. That also puts the first half and the second half of the Mishnah at odds. And the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayot makes that clear. The second half of the Mishnah is because you have two mitzvot, therefore you have Enu Makev, Enu Makev. They're not Makev each other. The first half of the Mishnah, it's only one mitzvah. Yet, when you say Enu Makev, how could it be that it's Enu Makev, it's one mitzvah? So that's what the Rambam makes clear here, that he doesn't think that the number of mitzvot determines whether you're Makev or not. It's very difficult, given the last Mishnah we had in the previous Perek, which the last Mishnah said that there's a machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shmuel as to how many mitzvot there are in tzitzit. Is it one mitzvah? That's the Chachamim's view. Or Rabbi Shmuel's view is four independent mitzvot. And the Gemara basically said that the nafkamina between them is, are they ma'akev each other? Meaning that according to the Chachamim, where it's one mitzvah, they are ma'akev each other. You can't do one without the other. You need all four of them. Rabbi Shmuel says that they are separate mitzvot, shows you that they are not ma'akev each other. You can put one on, two on, three on, four on, because each one's an independent mitzvah. That would seem to be the strongest evidence, the fact that when the Mishnah says, Enu Makev, that you have two mitzvot over here. And that's, again, might be what's driving partly the Balei Tosfot's view here. Tchelet and Lavan gotta be two different mitzvot. They gotta be two different tracks, independent of each other, because otherwise how can you say Enu Makev or Enu Makev? They must be different mitzvot. One's the mitzvah of Dilim, one's the mitzvah of Tchelet. But the Rambam, who sees it as a single mitzvah and counts them as a single mitzvah in the Menyan HaMitzvot and Sefer HaMitzvot, that's very difficult to say. Why are you not Makev if it's one mitzvah? So the Rambam in the Shorashim for the Sefer Mitzvah basically writes that it's a Gzeret HaKatuv, in essence. It's a limud from the Sifrei, that despite the fact that the Tzitzit are one mitzvah, the component parts are not Makev each other. But even given that they're not Makev each other, he still can't read the Mishnah easily. It's not like the Tfilin Shorosh and Tfilin Shoyad in the second half. The Rambam can't say one is independent of the other. It's just not true. The tchelet is not independent of the white. The white could be independent, but the tchelet can't be, and therefore he has to read the first half of the Mishnah differently, and that's what he says. The first half of the Mishnah is not the same as the second half of the Mishnah. The second half of the Mishnah is saying you have two mitzvot, so each one runs independently. The first half of the Mishnah is saying you have one mitzvah, and yet they can be separated. The white can be separated away from the tchelet. But, truthfully, the tchelet can't be separated away from the white, and therefore I have to interpret it to be speaking about gardumim. Okay, that's just as a starters, that's the Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, so this is going to preoccupy us for the most of today's daf, which is that this Mishnah is not Rabbi. So the truth is, that's the simplest way to read the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not Rabbi. The Gemara is going to go through extreme efforts to make Rabbi the author of the Mishnah. Now, you'll see that Rabbi says something that's exactly the opposite of the Mishnah. So why is the Gemara going through so much trouble in order to have Rabbi match up with the Mishnah? So that could be for one of two reasons. It could be the fact that Rabbi is the Mesader of Mishnah. So it makes sense that Rabbi's position is the position that we're going to see in the Mishnah. That's one direction of the Rishonim. Another direction of the Rishonim say that shows you the halacha must be like Rabbi. That the halacha must be like Rabbi, because otherwise why would the Gemara go through so much trouble to get Rabbi to fit into the Mishnah? And that means that Rabbi must hold of something, or they want Rabbi to match up with the Mishnah. So that have influence on how Rishonim, in the end, both paskin and figure out why Rabbi is so essential to this Gemara. The Tanya, you have a bright. Uritemoto, Milameit, Shmakvim, Zedze. Tivrei Rabbi. Rabbi says they are Makev. Chamim Amim ain't Makvim. Chamim says they're not Makev. So if you were to take this at face value, you have a bright that says Rabbi says they're Makev each other, and you have the Chamim say they're not Makev each other. Who's the author of our Mishnah? The Chachamim. Mishnah says they're not Makev. That works with the Chachamim. My time with the Rabbi. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi's position? Dichtiv hakanaf min kanaf. It says in the pasuk when it speaks about the kanaf and the p'til tchelet, it says hakanaf. And from that we learn min kanaf, that the kanaf or the string on the kanaf has to be similar to the kanaf itself. It has to be of the same material as the corner of the beged. And Rashi explains over here, hainu lavan, that is white. Derov talitot shel pishtim hein ulevanot. The majority of clothing that was worn in that day was linen clothing. And linen clothing, by definition, was white. And again, this goes back to something I mentioned before, which is that in the time of Chazal, when they're speaking about this, the only material that they were really successfully able to dye and have the color take hold was tzemer, was wool. So that means whenever you're speaking about colors, you're speaking about tzemer. Whenever you're speaking about pishtan, you're speaking about white. And as Rashi over here says, rov talitot shelehen, the majority of their wear was linen. So if the majority of their wear is linen, that means the Torah is speaking to linen and saying about linen, that you have to have a kanaf and you have to have a til tchelet. So what that means is you got the min kanaf, you have to have something similar to the corner. The corner is white, made out of linen. Sounds like you have to have white linen strings hanging from there. Then it says til tchelet, means you have to have a wool blue string that's hanging from there. And that's how you get both the white and the blue strings, according to Rabbi. A kanaf, min kanaf. Uchtib til tchelet. And then you have til tchelet. V'amar rachmana, uritem oto. Adika tarvayu bechad. So you see it, the oto is now a singular unit of these two items together. Somehow the white and the blue are meshed together. And uritem oto, you will see those tzitzit that are created from a kanaf and the tchelet. That's not the pashtut of pasuk. Pashtut of pasuk is how we read it before. Uritem oto means you'll see the til tchelet. And that reminds you of all these things. The way Rabbi reads it is uritem oto, you will see this creation that's made of a knaf and petil tchelet, and that's what's going to drive over here. That's the tzitzit. But that means you need both of them to be there in order to create the tzitzit. Rabbanan, uritem oto, kochad bechudei mashma. Uritem oto, and again, even their reading isn't the simplest reading, but probably closer to the pshat. Uritem oto means you will see the knaf, and you mean knaf, and you will see the tchelet. Oto means each one individually, not both of them together. Again, the easier way to read it is just simply your temotos to see the p'til techelet. But either way, they're not me'akev each other. So lema taloka rabbi. Let us say Mishnah is not like Rabbi. Truth is, you don't even have to speculate. It seems so obvious that Rabbi is not the author of our Mishnah. So now we have the attempts to fit Rabbi back into our Mishnah. Before we move on, you should also know that there's another limud, which we'll get to again later in the parak, and we've seen it in Yivamot and other places, which is the juxtaposition of lotu bashatnei semer pishtim yachdav, dilim tazel echa, which seems to indicate that semer pishtim are the raw materials for gedilim tazel echa, that there's some connection between semer pishtim and the fact that you have to make tzitzit. That's one thing. Number two is there's a view of the Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel, that the only beged that is meant in the Torah, there's only one type of beged in the Torah, and that's made out of tzemer and pishtim. No other begadim are recognized by the Torah. They learned that out from Mitzorah, and the materials that are spoken about by Mitzorah, Tzorat, and therefore they come to the conclusion that any beged, or any time the word beged is used in the Torah, it means either tzemer, or it means pishtim. And over here, by the parshiyah of tzitzit, we have bigdehem, or beged, so the words are used there, and that means tzemer and pishtim. For Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel, it's obvious that you have tzemer or pishtin are going to be involved here. There's no other materials that are really relevant. Bali doesn't both point out, even according to that view of the Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel, they are not palig alahad merabesh charminim of a kanaf min kanaf darish. He says, even Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel, who disagree with this view of min kanaf, that you have to put on tzitzit from the material of the beged, implying that if you had a cotton beged, you would have cotton tzitzit, and that would work, they don't agree with that, because they think there's only tzemer and pishtin. Nevertheless, they still agree with the basic premise, which is a kanaf min kanaf, that the materials that you're making the beged out of has to affect what tzitzit you're hanging there. And therefore, if you say tzemer and pishtim are the two materials, then the tzitzit hanging there are going to either be tzemer or pishtim or a mix of both, but they've got to be one of those materials. And so they still hold a min kanaf, but only in a limited sense. They think min kanaf is only tzemer and pishtim, as opposed to Rova, who has the drush of min kanaf, that tells you that whatever the material of the beged is, that's the material of the string, and therefore you can have other materials that will be tzitzit. So that's the question today about cotton tzitzit, whether you really yotze the mitzvah midoraita with cotton tzitzit, because of the question we pass in like Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel that tzitzit are only from tzemer and pishtim, or do we pass in like Rava and other views within the Gemara that other materials can be tzitzit. This kanaf, min kanaf, is a big part or pivotal piece in that understanding that the kanaf could be out of other materials, and the min kanaf means the tzitzit are going to be from the material, and the tzemer pishtin means that they work on everything. Wool and linen tzitzit work on any material. And that's why people who have cotton begadim for their tzitzit many times have woolen tzitzit that are in the cotton beged, because cotton is a material question of its chayav or not, but wool works to be puter in all cases. Even according to one who says you can have other materials for the beged. So that's just as a little aside. Again, a lot of this stuff will come up again, but then the Gemara will see them in the specific locations when we get there. Now the Gemara says, Amar Avidam Rav, Afilu Tei Marabi, Lo Nitzrachal of the Kadim. We have to read the Mishnah not about whether they're Ma'akev each other, but the question of order. The sequence matter over here. The Tanya, Mitzvah Lakdim Lavan L'Techelet. It's a mitzvah to put the white in before the Techelet. Bimdim Techelet Lavan Yatza. You put in Techelet first, you're still okay. Elishachiser Mitzvah. You just lost out on a mitzvah. So what they're saying is that the pasuk has an order. That's the way Rashi reads it. At least is Natu'al Tzitzit HaKanaf. That's Min Kanaf. The Min Kanaf is the white. Afterwards, Teil Techelet. So the order of placing the tzitzit in is first white, then the blue. First the min kanaf, and then the teal techelet. So that's the proper way to do it. So that means that one, you do white, then blue. What happens if you reverse the order? So if you reverse the order, it says that techelet ainu me'akev et ha'lavan, ve'lavan ainu me'akev et ha'techelet. Meaning that the fact that you put in the one material first does not necessarily affect the other material that you put in afterwards. So my chiser mitzvah, what does it mean that you lost out a mitzvah? Ilei mechitzer mitzvah de lavan, then now you lost out the mitzvah of lavan because you put in the techelet first instead of lavan, v'kia mitzvah techelet, and then you kept the mitzvah of techelet, but Rabbi, kuvi ma'akev adodi. That can't be the explanation here because Rabbi says they're ma'akev each other. You need both of them there to be yotzei the mitzvah tzitzit. So you can't have, oh, I accomplished one and not the other, because that's exactly what Rabbi says doesn't work. He says you need both to work the mitzvah. So I'm reviewing the Marav. Shechiser mitzvah, va'asa mitzvah. This is a type of terminology that we've seen in Zvachim many times, which is when you have something that's not ma'akev, but it's the way you're supposed to do it, it says you did the mitzvah, but you didn't do the mitzvah. That we saw like with the Shari Adam. Or certain things that, like smicha, that has to be done on the korban, things that are not ma'akev, the korban, in those situations, they call them Shari mitzvah, which means you got the mitzvah, but you didn't get the mitzvah. You got the mitzvah because you got it in the end, you got the mitzvah, the major part of the mitzvah done. Now then, you missed something that would have enhanced the mitzvah. And that's what we're saying here. Umay chitzer mitzvah. The law about mitzvah mina mufkar. That's what it means. When you chitzer mitzvah means you didn't do it in the best way possible because you got it out of order. Now, the Tosfo just mentions over here, he says, Tema de ipcha v'le de meymar. The mitzvah lavan avad of a mitzvah techelet and asich lo yachotah chitzer. The way that the Gemara presents it over here is that when you put the blue in first, and then you put the white in afterwards, it says, then you lost the lavan, and you get the techelet. Tosfos what says, why don't you say just the opposite? You put in the techelet wrong. You put them in first when they should have gone first. That should be the one that doesn't work. The one that should work is the white that you put in afterwards. He says, why did the Gemara go in the other direction? He says he thinks that it's influenced by the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, a lavan ainu me'akev et techelet. The lavan doesn't stop the techelet. So then that means when you didn't put in the lavan strings first, they don't stop you from accomplishing the mitzvah of techelet. That's why the Gemara said, oh, maybe you just get the mitzvah of techelet, no lavan. My answer is no, you get both, but you got lost out the mitzvah in a mufkar. So you're supposed to put the lavan in, and then the techelet afterwards. Here you put in the techelet first. So the lavan, einu ma'akev et techelet. The lavan is not ma'akev the techelet from you accomplishing the mitzvah of techelet. That we're going to see. That's hatinach, lavan, einu ma'akev et techelet. So now you explain to me one direction. That fact that the lavan doesn't block the techelet from coming through fruition or being a mitzvah. Techelet, te'ena me'akevet the lavan, mayhi. How do you have it in the reverse? How is it that the techelet doesn't stop the lavan from accomplishing the mitzvah? The lavan's supposed to go first. So if the lavan's going first, then if you don't do lavan first, then the lavan's not me'akevet the techelet. But if you do it in the right order and you put in the lavan first and then the techelet, what does it mean that the techelet isn't me'akev the lavan? How does that come to fruition? So you can see over in the old bet of the Shittu Mekubetzet, you can see this probably in Rashi as well. I'm going to read this part of the Gemara. I'm not going to translate it because it's going to come up again. This probably does not belong in the Girsa. It was lifted from the later part of this Gemara and brought back up here. So I'll just read it. It says, Amar Rami Barchama Nitzchukal Atali Chukula Techelet. The answer is, for a beged et chukula techelet. Now we're going to explain that. Itmar Nami. Now Itmar Nami means that we find Amoraim that say a similar thing. Flow of the Gemara would have been, you know about that the Levan's not Ma'akev the techelet. What about the other way around? In Marnami, we have a memra from the Amoraim to help us to understand. Zamarle Levi l'Shmuel, Aryuch. Levi says to Shmuel, Levi is one of those individuals in the bridge between the Tanaim and the Amoraim. Levi is one of the big Talmidim of Rabbi. We have plenty of stories about him being in front of Rabbi in the Gemara and Sukkah and other places. So Levi's in front of everybody here. You see him interacting with Rav and Shmuel. We see him interacting with the first generation of Amoraim as well. So Levi here says to Shmuel, Aryoch. Rashi over here says Aryoch means like an Aryeh, a lion. And a lion is representative of Malchut. Because Gur Aryeh, which is Yehuda, which is representative of Gvura, and representative of Malchut, that is Aryoch. So Aryoch represents Melucha or Melech. The reason that Shmuel is called the Melech, Rashi says over here, is because Shmuel's Piskei Halacha are accepted by Mamononot. When we have Machlok between Rav and Shmuel, Halacha Karabi Surei, Halacha Kishmuel Bedine. Any Dine Mamononot we pass in like Shmuel. So Shmuel carries weight like the king. And just like the king's decrees are Dina de Machuta Dina, whatever the king decrees and whatever the government decides is binding, so too whatever Shmuel decides with regards to matters or monetary matters is also binding. And that's why they call him the Melech. It's interesting, I think that Shmuel is actually the bar memra of Dina Machuta Dina. It's almost a play on his own memra of Dina Machuta Dina. They're calling him the Melech. In other places in Shas, Rashi simply says the word Ayoch means a king. Not because it's Ari, it's a lion. And then the lion represents the king or the king of the animals. But rather, Aryoch itself, the word itself, means a king or someone of royalty. And that's why the terminology was used to describe Shmuel. In other places in Shas, we have that he is called Shvor Malka. And that's the name that's given both to Rav Nachman and maybe even to Shmuel. Shvor Malka was the Persian king at that time. And they used to give him that name again because Rav Nachman, the loch is like him, b'dinim. By Shmuel, the loch is like him, by dinim, mamononot. So they were given a status or a nickname like the king because of the fact that their siskei halacha or their decisions were binding in a way that they're accepted the halacha. So again, that's the same type of place. So that's what Levi is in respect and out of deference to Shmuel. And even though Levi is older and even might have a higher standing than Shmuel, he says to Aryoch, lo te teva karech, don't sit down. Ad mefarshet li ha milta de dechelet inu makevet et alavan. Please explain to me the Mishnah, what's the meaning that the Lavan is not Makev the Techelet, and the Techelet is in a Mekevet et a Lavan. So he says to him, don't sit down on your knees, don't sit down, get off your feet until you've explained to me this matter. He said that we only need it for the situation or the scenario of Sadin Bitzitzit. This is a sugya in of itself. We won't spend so much time on it today. We will get back to it later in the perek. Again, it's discussed heavily in the beginning of Masechet Yevamot as well, which is Sadin Bitzitzit. When it comes to Tzitzit, again, you can have different types of Begadim. Let us assume that you're limited to two types of Begadim. You have a Beged Semer, a wool Beged, and you have a Beged Pishtan, a linen Beged. Now, with regards to a wool Beged, you don't really have any issues because Tchelet is made out of wool. So you put in white strings made out of wool and blue strings made out of wool, there's no issue. Pishtan runs you into a problem because Pishtan is a linen beged. So now to put the white strings in, you can put in white linen strings, you have no problem. Your bigger issue is that you have to put tchelet. As we said before, the definition of tchelet is that it's made out of wool that is dyed blue. You put blue dyed wool into your beged pishtan and you're going to tie it there, you now have kilayim on your hands. So by definition, a sadin b'tzitzit is going to involve kilayim. Now we know that kilayim are overridden by the din of tzitzit. We'll get to that again coming up. There's going to be a gezerat chachamim that stops this because we'll see if different issues or worries that they had with regards to tzitzit. But at least at the Torah level, you're allowed to have kilayim be tzitzit. And by definition, you need kilayim to have tzitzit, because if you wear a beged pishtan, there's no way to make tzitzit without having kilayim in the tzitzit. Ela sadim tzitzit. The mitzvah lagdume lavan bereisha. That you have to put in the white first, my daima. Hakanaf, min kanaf. You have to put in whatever the material of the beged is. You have to put that in first. How do you know that that's white? This goes back to what Rashi said before, which is that pishtan is white, by definition. They don't dye pishtan. They're unable to dye pishtan. They can't get dyes to hold in pishtan, so pishtan's going to be white. If that's the case, then min kanaf goes first. The kanaf is made out of pishtan. You're going to put in white first. V'aktim tchelet lavan, leit lamba. If you put the tchelet in first, it's okay. So now again, the Gemara says, tinach lavan, deinu me'akevet the tchelet. So now you explain to me how lavan doesn't stop the tchelet from working. Because you're supposed to put the lavan in first. Even though you skipped over lavan and put the tchelet in first, the Lavan doesn't stop you from accomplishing the mitzvah of to chelet. What about chelet in a merkevet alavan? Mayi. How does it work in the opposite direction? Where do you have a case where you need to put in tchilet first and then lavan afterwards, where you can say, oh, if we skip the tchilet, it's okay. Where does that ever happen? Amalei Rami Barchama, lo nitzrakai lo talit shukula tchilet. When you have a talit that's made out of kula tchilet. That first of all means that the beged is tsemer. It's a woolen beged. And number two is now it's dyed and completely tchilet. This is the question of Korach that's raised right in the parshia right after the parshia that tzitzit. That's one of the things that Chazal say Korach was asking because of the juxtaposition of tzitzit to the parshia of Korach. That was one of his questions that he's asking Moshe. A beggar that's called tchilet, does it need tzitzit? Why does it need tzitzit? That's all tchilet. What do I need a little string of tchilet on a beggar of tchilet? The answer is you do need tzitzit. That doesn't matter. But now the Gemara is saying, if you have a beggar to call it tchilet, the mitzvah like dume tchilet bereisha. The mitzvah is to put tchilet in first before you put in the white. Da kanaf, min kanaf. Because over there, the tchelet and the min kanaf are the same. The achtim lavan bereisha leit lamba. But if you put in the white first, then that's okay. So what's interesting here, you see that despite the fact that the beged is made out of tchelet. So now, if your strings are comprised of two components, one is min kanaf, which means that it has to be the same material and the same item as the kanaf of the beged, and then you have a second material, which is til tchelet. So in other situations, you're going to have a white string, because that's the min kanaf. Then you're going to have a til tchelet, because that's what's required by the Torah. Over here, the min kanaf is also tchelet, because the beged itself is a tzemer tchelet. Therefore, min kanaf and til tchelet are synonymous in this case, not different. But that shows you that there must be something independent of this, that it requires lavan over here. Otherwise, why are you putting any white strings in? Min kanaf tells you tchelet. Til tchelet tells you tchelet. Maybe you should have all strings of tchelet over here. It's clear that there's a separate obligation of white that exists. For the Rambam, that's obvious, because the Rambam says that til tchelet is going to wrap around. It can't be that there's anything else besides having white there. For the Raivut, it's because of the word gedilim. And the Baal Tosafot and Rashi are also going to have to say something like that. That the word gedilim tells you that there has to be white in there, because gedilim includes tzemer and pishtin, and since the rope begadim were pishtan, that tells you that the strings are going to be white. We're going to see that again in a second in Rashi, that that's the reason or the why we know that there are white strings, is because that was the rope begadim or the pishtan. So over here, where you have white and blue strings, the min kanaf and the p'til tchilet are synonymous, so you got to put the tchilet in first. The yachtim lavan bereisha leit lamba. If you put in white first, we don't worry about it, it's okay. So that's the reverse case, where you don't have something that is me'akev. Amar Rava, so now this statement of Rava, the Rishonim interpreted differently, as to how fundamental Rava's statement is over here. Mida tziva kagorim. Since when is color the driving force over here? So this leads to different aspects within the Rishonim. You're saying that color drives. That means that the til tchelet should go in first, because the color of the beged is tchelet. That's driving the fact that you're putting in a colored string first, because you want to have min kanaf. Is Rava then saying that color is irrelevant? Or is Rava saying that there are other factors here besides color? So depending on how you read that, does have influence over here. Rashi says over here, what does mida tziva karamim? Afilu kula tchelet. Nami mitzvah lahatim lavan tchelet. Even if your beged is kula tchelet, there's still a mitzvah to put in the white ones first. Hold the robe, talidot, levanotain. He says that majority of tzitzit are white. So what Rava is saying according to Rashi, it's not a fundamental thing about color. It's just telling you that you have the particular beged that you have in front of you, and then you have the majority of situations out there. And all that Rava is saying is, well, you don't govern it by the particular situation. It's governed by the general population, the general thing that people wear. Since the majority of their clothes are pishtan, and pishtan is lavan, that means that the mitzvah should always be lavan before tchelet, even when you have a beggar that's kula tchelet, because you go after the majority of circumstances, not after the particular beggar. That's the way Rashi reads it. You look in the Baal HaTosafot, mashma shirotze bekunshus tefereish, v'shom dekra, perov tali akotari. The pasuk is dealing with the majority of situations, not dealing with your particular situation. It says min kanaf and then til tchelet. It's talking about min kanaf in the majority of situations, and that is the rov tchelot arish ain levanot vein tzvuot tchelet. And you have to say the tzarek lomar the stam tchelot shalem ayu gam mishar minim. Says wait a minute, there are other materials The reason Tosfot is pushing to that bind is because Rava later on is going to say min kanaf and speak about that being permitting other materials for tzitzit. So he doesn't believe that there's only tzemer and pishtin. He believes that you can have any material. What the Baal Tosfot say is that what Rashi is saying is true about pishtan might be true of other materials. Maybe not all the things that were pishtan. There were other begadim and other types of materials as well. And then Tosfot maybe backs away from that and says, maybe that's not the way to learn it here. And he says, v'yesh lamar, that you have to say that the pasuk is not speaking at a case of a beged tchelet. Daktiv min kanaf uktiv ptil tchelet. Alma tchelet la min kanaf habi. All that shows you is that min kanaf and tchelet are not the same thing. So what he's saying is that pasuk, by definition, is telling you the scenario of the pasuk is not a case where the beged is colored, where the beged is tchelet. Because of the fact that you have min kanaf, and you have tchelet. That tells you that min kanaf and tchelet are not synonymous. Well, if they're not synonymous, that means that whatever you're putting into the beged is not colored because that's already covered by the ptil tchelet. Min kanaf is a separate category. Even though the ptil tchelet is more min kanaf than a white one or even a pishtan string, nevertheless, it can't be the first string in because of the fact that Tzil Tchelet is not min kanaf. They're defined as separate issues. Od yesh lefaresh, tzviya delav mitzvah, lav midei. And the other option that he says is, when it comes to other colors, or other colors of migadim, they're not influential. Which is that Tosfot takes two different approaches here, and then we'll get to the last approach, which is the more fundamental approach. Tosfot says, first of all, there were other types of materials used. It's not all pishtan. Then he runs into a problem that you have now other colors then, or possibilities of colors being here, and then how are you so sure that min kanaf means white? So Tosfot says, the reason you know min kanaf is white is because min kanaf is contrasted with ptil tchelet. That means that min kanaf has got to be different than ptil tchelet, and that means that min kanaf is obviously not a colored string because it's in opposition or in contrast to ptil tchelet. That means even though you have a beged that's kula tchelet, to put in the min kanaf first, even though you have a ptil tchelet, which is more alike to the beged itself, but because it says min kanaf first, min kanaf is not ptil tchelet, you can't put in the ptil tchelet first. That might be the claim of Rava. Or the other possibility of Rava's claim is that even if you have other colored begadim, that's not influential. And that's because when you dye something for a mitzvah, that's influential. If you dye something red, purple, green, there's no mitzvah involved in that, and that's not influential in the min kanaf. But he's saying that the majority of begadim that are not made from tzemer, they're made from other materials, even if they're colored, that's not the important part. The important part is that they're different materials. Those different materials basically say that the min kanaf has got to be something besides the ptil tchelet. That min kanaf is not focused on color. Those colors are not mitzvot, they're focused on material. And that material is always going to be white, because there's no necessity for the color to match up. So that's the way the Tosfot says it. The Balaitur over here brings in Shita, which we saw before in the Tosfot, but basically that there's a fundamental difference here in what Rava is saying. Rava is saying that color is not important, material is important. And the Rava is really arguing fundamentally that what you need is the same material as the beged that you have on. You do not need the same color. And so he's saying, you're telling me that if you have a beged that's kula tchelet, you need to put in a ptil tchelet first? It's not right. Min kanaf means the material of the beged. That means you need to put in a wool item. Doesn't have to be colored blue. It has nothing to do with color. Color is not a factor when you put it in. So he's fundamentally disagreeing with what we said until now, which is color, he's saying, is irrelevant, completely irrelevant. And the only thing min kanaf means is material. You've got to focus on which material you're putting in. Are you having a bag of that tzemer? Put in tzemer. You have a material that's pishtan? Put in pishtan. But the colors, doesn't matter. Even if you have a blue tchelet beged, the only requirement is min kanaf. It has to be the same material. Wool doesn't have to be blue wool. It just has to be wool. And that's how you're yotze. So that's why Rava now fundamentally can't explain the other side of the Mishnah in this manner. But we're still trying to get Rabbi into the Mishnah. So a Rabbi who says that things are ma'akev, how are we going to get into the Mishnah when he says enu ma'akev? We set up precedence, priority, hierarchy. That's how we're going to do it. So we found ways to do that. We said hierarchy is white should go in before blue in a standard case. And in case you have a beged kula tchelet, tchelet should go in before the lavan, but that's not ma'akev. That order is not ma'akev, and that's how we got Rabbi to fit into our Mishnah. Rava says that it's not true, that either like Rashi says, that rov begadim are white, and therefore the Torah is speaking to rov cases. Right, the Baal Tosafot, where the contrast between min kanaf and ptil tchelet says to you that you don't put in ptil tchelet first, for whatever the reasons are, including the possibility that color doesn't matter in other materials, Or the way the Baal Hiter says it, because color is not relevant at all, according to Rava. Only thing that matters is the material. Then you see there that there isn't any hierarchy where Tchelet goes first or goes before the Pishdan. So then what's the case where the Tchelet is not Na'akevet the Lavan? Where do we wave the Tchelet in order to have the Lavan? Ela Amar Rava lo nitzrucha lo gardumim. You need it for gardumim. Di'i gardam Tchelet v'kai Lavan. Di'i gardam Lavan v'kai Tchelet late Lamba. So here, it's one of the harder sugyas called gardumim. Gardumim basically means you have a residual of the original mitzvah. You had a mitzvah in its wholeness when you started, and now you have a residual of that mitzvah. We saw that again in the previous paragraph with regards to tefillin, gardumim of the ritzuot. Here we're going to have it with regards to tzitzit. We have it also going to have it with regards to nezov, which is the item that's used to sprinkle the ashes of the paraduma on the person that's tamei to matamei. Well, there you have gardumim. You have a shiur that's required up front, and then you have a residual of that shiur. In general, what the word gardumim means is probably from the word garad, just to scrape down or to wear down. The gardumim, basically what you're looking for is, are they still functional? I mean, that everything in life wears and tears. You have shirts, you have clothes, you have shoes. Things wear down. Just because they're worn down, you don't stop using them. You stop using them when they're no longer functional, where they no longer have the utility that you originally bought them for. So wear and tear is a normal part of usage. And so wear and tear is going to be acceptable in these situations as long as it's still what we call normal usage and if it's still functioning like the original purpose that it had. So here you have Rava making a statement that the Igardam is the definition that Rabbi has for the Mishnah, and that's how he's going to fit into the Mishnah. The Lavan's not Makeh, the Tchelet means that if the Lavan is cut down to the point where it's just Gardumim, the Tchelet is still okay, or vice versa. If the Tchelet is cut down, then the Lavan is still okay. So now, this is the source for the Rambam, where the Rambam said before in the Mishnah that the Tchelet is not Makeh the Lavan. If you don't have Tchelet, then you can put Lavan strings in. But we said the Rambam second half of the Mishnah, which is when you don't have Lavan, you can still put in Tchelet. You can't say that because Tchelet needs Lavan. So his case is this case of Gardumim. It's a case where you have white strings, and now the white strings got cut back, and now they're very small. Those white strings, you can still have Tchelet around them, and you'll still be Mekayim the mitzvah according to him, and that's what Rava's saying for Rabbi. And that's why the Rambam is so difficult. This is in the sheet of Rabbi. Our Mishnah B'Pashtutea is like the Rabbanon. And the Rabbanon don't need this whole case of Gardumim. Yet Rambam still explains the case of the Mishnah as being a case of Gardumim. So that's one of the difficulties with the Rambam's shot. Now, in terms of the statement here of Rava, Rava's making a statement that if you have residual white, then you have the blue. Or if you have residual blue, then you can have the white. Residual strings allow you to accomplish the mitzvah. How you read this also is influenced by how you see the issue of the interplay between the tchelet and the lavan. Damrei b'nei Rabbi Chiya, gardumei tchelet kasherim. That when you have residual strings of tchelet, they are kasher. The gardumei ezov, kasherim. And also, the gardumim of b'nei ezov are kasherim. V'kama shiur gardumim. How long is a gardum? How long does it have to be to still qualify? Amar baram duri, amar shmuel, kedei lo anvan. The amount that it takes to loop them so that you can loop them on. So the Rambam actually brings this down in two different halachot. And the Mishkanot Yaakov over here says that the fact that Rambam brought in two halachot is because he's reading the Gemara as being two different things. The Gemara over here seemingly conflates Rava and B'nai Rabbi Chiya. But it's not necessarily mukhrach that Rava and B'nai Rabbi Chiya say the same thing. Rava said that if you have gardumim, they're not na'akev. On the other hand, you have B'nai Rabbi Chiya coming there and saying, if you have gardumim of a certain length, they are okay. Rava never indicates that he has a shiur, or a minimum shiur. And from Rava, it sounds like even a koshu would be sufficient over here. What the Mishkanot Yaakov reads in the Gemara here, and it seems to fit better into the wording of the Gemara, is that Rava says gardumim work. But gardumim for Rava are, you have like a tiny bit of the string left. You don't have kenei aniba. You don't have the ability to use them at all. They're just there. And in that way, when you're going to read that these gardumim work, so for Rabbi, it has to be that it works for both. Meaning that it's just a matter. If you have white strings, then the tchelet is still okay. Or if you have the tchelet, that the white's okay, because they're ma'akev each other. So since they're ma'akev each other, they're one mitzvah, you need both of them. But for the Rabbonon, where it's not one mitzvah, then what you're going to say over here is, if you have gardumim over here, tiny white strings, then the tchelet is still there. You're still yotzei the mitzvah of tchelet, even though you're not yotzei the mitzvah of lavan. Or vice versa. that if you only have tiny strings of Techelet, that still allows you to have the Lavan there and do the mitzvah of Lavan. But that's all you accomplish. You accomplish one of the two mitzvot. And that's exactly how the Rambam interprets Gardumim in the Mishnah. But then there's a different din of Bnei Rabbi Chiya. Bnei Rabbi Chiya, I want you to know that if you want to be Yotzei both mitzvot, if you have Kedei Lon Van, if you have enough to wrap a loop around or to tie them around, then you're Yotzei not only the mitzvah of the one that is there and the other one that's missing is not, you're Yotzei both mitzvot. If you have enough blue there to wrap it around the white, then you're Yotzei Tchelet and Lavan. Or the other way around, if you have enough Lavan there to get a Lavan, then you're Yotzei both the Tchelet and the Lavan. So in that way, the Mishnah of Yaakov says, that's the way the Rambam read this part of the Gemara. He read them as being two separate issues, Rava's Din, and Rava's Din is influential in the Mishnah, and that's how he explains the Mishnah, even according to the Chachamim. Bnei Rabbi Chiya have a similar Din, which is that there is a concept of Gardumim. But their Gardumim are different. Their Gardumim are to qualify it to be Kasher Legamre. They're not just simply, I want to be Yotzei one of the two components. No, you want both components? Then you need Kedei Aniva. That's the way that the Rambam read it. On the other hand, you can see in Rashi and the other Rishonim, like the Balei HaTosafot over here, they read Bnei Rabbi Chiya as being a qualification of Rava's statement. And Rava is making a statement over here that they're not makeib each other. And when is that true? When are they not makeib? What's the size of the Gardumim you need left in order to allow you to have them work in this situation? And that is Kedei Aniva. And in that way, Rava is saying, Di Gardum Techele B'Kayi Lavan, Di Gardum Lavan Kayi Techele Leit Lamba. You don't worry about it. The way they're reading it is, what it means, Eino Makeiv, is that if you have Gardumim, then the two Shleimim, the two whole ones, protect the Gardumim, and you've done all the mitzvah. You've got both mitzvah done. It's not that you've accomplished one mitzvah and the Gardumim don't prevent the other mitzvah from being accomplished, but rather the Gardumim are there and the Shleimim work to protect you or protect those Gardumim, which is much harder to read into the language here of Rava, where he says that, Gardim Tchelet V'Koyi Lavan, that if the Tchelet is cut off, then the Lavan's still there. It makes it sound like the Lavan is okay and the Tchelet's not Makeiv the Lavan. According to the Balei Tosafot, when the Tchelet is cut off, then the Lavan protects the Tchelet and the Tchelet is okay. It's almost the opposite of what you would have read into the language of Rava, but that's derived from two things. First of all, the Balei Tosafot think that Bnei Rabbi Chiya and Rava are saying the same thing. So once you have Kedei Lo and Van, you're already discussing a level of string that in of itself is sufficient to make it be okay. So if Rava is also speaking with Kedei Lo and Van, then what Rava is saying is when you have Kedei Lo and Van of the shorter one, the larger one protects you and gives you the ability to have both of them be Kshirim. Rabbeinu Tam and the Balei Tor view this differently. They feel that when you have Tchelet, it's Eino Makeiv, it's a Lavan, you don't have Tchelet, you replace it with two strings. Those two strings represent the Tchelet that should have been there. And therefore, the Gardumim could influence each other. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you rip two strings, you're okay. If you rip three strings, you have a problem. And that's what the Balei Tosafot would say. Rabbeinu Tam, Dachshav Shonatim, Dad Chutim, Bet Mishum Lavan, and Bet Mishum Tchelet. That's what we said, that he thinks that the extra white are for the Tchelet. Tzarekli Zeir, Shem Nifsuku, Shlosha Min Achutim, three of the strings rip, Shemaim Shlosha Chutim, maybe they're from three separate strings, Benitza, Shalom Nisharu, Bet Chutim Shlemim. And then you don't have two whole strings. You need two full whole strings there. If you don't have two full whole strings, then you have a problem. So therefore, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, since the two Lavan come to face the Techelet, we're going to look at this like you have two Techelet and two Lavan. And just like over here, you need two whole strings to protect the other strings, because either you have the Techelet, and that protects the Lavan, that is Gardum, or you have the Lavan, and that protects the Techelet, that is Gardum. So do over here. If you have two strings that are ripped, you're okay, because then you will have at least two whole strings there. But if you have a third string that's ripped, now you have a risk that that third string, you don't have two shleimim. If you don't have two shleimim anymore, it's not going to cover you. So that's the way that Rabbeinu Tam learns. So according to the Rabbeinu Tam, you have two qualifications for Gardumim. You need Kedei Aniva, plus you need at least two whole strings in order to make it kasher. And on top of that, that's all inside the Shita of Rabbi. And that means that we're paskening like Rabbi over here, if you believe that's the case.
Which the Balei Tosafot are not comfortable with, because they say the sugya is going to Rabbi in the way Rabbeinu Tam is setting it up. And then Gardumim shouldn't apply for the Chachamim. And that's what the Balei Tosafot say. This whole sugya is going to Rabbi. Ha-shabi mitzvah chat. Because according to him, it's one mitzvah. And therefore, the Gardumim can help each other out. Uv'rabbonon afilu b'chad mitzvah. According to Rabbonon, even with one string missing, you're out. Ta-shrei mitzvah ninu.
Loto lachat lechaberta. One cannot assist the other. So what the Tosfot is saying is something totally different than the Rambam. Rambam says, oh, this din of Gardumim, yes, it's inside of Rabbi's position. But it's true of Rabbi, but it's also true of the Chachamim. And the Chachamim who say that it is Enu Me'akev, they think the same thing. They think in terms of the Mishnah, first of all, it's one mitzvah. That the Tzchelet and Levan that we saw, the Rambam believes it's all one mitzvah. And so like Rabbi, it's like one mitzvah. And therefore, one can protect the other. If you have Gardumim, even the Chachamim are going to agree, you can be Yotzei that one mitzvah, or the half of mitzvah that you need. For Rabbi, you need to be Yotzei both. But for the Chachamim, at least, they'll take up Rabbi's position with regards to the fact that the white can save the blue, or the blue can save the white. The other mitzvah will be done, even though you lose one mitzvah. That's what the Rambam said. But I just would say that's not true. The Chachamim don't think this works at all. Why? Because Rabbi believes that they're one mitzvah. Therefore, if you have Tchelet left, it can save the white. Or if you have white left, it can save the Tchelet. I mean, the Shleimim, the whole ones, save the ones that are cut off. For whatever reason, one saves the other. If you think they're one mitzvah, then they can help each other out. The Rabbanim believe that they're two separate mitzvah, they're not making each other at all, then Gardumim aren't going to work. Well, just because you have a blue string, why should that help out your white string? Because you have a white string, why should that help out your blue string? They're two independent paths, they have nothing to do with each other. Therefore, according to the Balei Tosafot, Gardumim don't apply to the Rabbanim. There's no halacha of Gardumim according to the Chachamim, because this is all according to Rabbi, which the Balei Tosafot are not comfortable with. And therefore, in order to get the Gardumim to apply to the Chachamim as well, the Balei Tosafot themselves say, well, now that we require four strings or four white strings, like the sheet of the Balei Tosafot we saw at the Mishnah, the four strings, he says, the Rabbanim are chad mitzvah. That's one mitzvah, because as the Tosafot said, that's the accomplishment of the mitzvah of Gedilim, to have four strings. You can have four strings that are two tchelet, two lavan, or four strings that are all lavan. And it says over here, it's all one big mitzvah now. Because when there's no tchelet, then there's only one mitzvah. As opposed to when there's tchelet, there's two mitzvot. Once it's one big mitzvah, then the tzitzit can protect each other. And that's how the protection happens. Then the rabbanim start to look like Rabbi. And since the Rabbanan looks like Rabbi, and for Rabbi there's Gardumim, so just like there, the Tchelet can protect the white, and the white protect the Tchelet, if you think it's all one mitzvah, then the Levan string should be able to protect each other. And therefore now they can provide protection to each other, the same way that Tchelet and Levan protect each other. For Rabbi, four whites, for the Chachamim, are one mitzvah, and they can provide protection to each other in the Gardumim. Even though that might be a good answer that the Balei Tosafot are giving, they still have a problem with the Sugya. The Sugya is speaking in Tchelet, and it's saying the whole sugya is not according to the Rabbanan. Therefore, the Balei Tosafot bring a third position, which is explicated upon in the Rosh, in the Halachot Ketanot, which now offers a possibility that the Rabbanan also can hold of Gardumim in this sugya, which basically is a mixture of the Rambam and the Balei Tosafot, in which they differentiate between Rabba and the Bnei Rabbi Chiya. The case of Rabba is a case where it rips all the way Mi'ikaro. There's a kol shul left, almost nothing left. In that case, since they are one mitzvah, according to Rabbi, then the Shleimim, the whole ones, are able to help the Koshu that is left. On the other hand, Bnei Rabbi Chiya are speaking about, in a case we have a Kedea Niva left. When you have a Kedea Niva left, the strings can protect themselves. They don't need the protection of any of the strings. And that is, if they Gardumei, Techelet, Techelet, as the Balei Tosafot would say over here, refers to all the tzitzit, not just the Techelet. Means that all the tzitzit have been cut short. As long as there's a kedea niva left in all of the tzitzit, then you have gardumim that are ksherim. And even the chachamim will agree to this, because it has nothing to do with one mitzvah covering for the other mitzvah, or one is makev the other, but rather this is a statement about the residual string is big enough to save itself. And in that way, the tchelet here is very similar to the ezov. The gardume ezov means that you have a leftover hitzup that's able to do the sprinkling, meaning that there is a residual of the original that is still kasher to do something. And similarly over here, with regards to Bnei Rabbi Chiya, the tchelet, the piece of the tchelet that's missing, there's still enough left of whatever tchelet is there to make the tchelet itself kasher, and not that it's saying that the other item is still okay. In the other case, you're saying there's enough of a cheftz of mitzvah that it's not makev the other item. But here you're saying that the item itself is sufficiently large enough at this point to be yotzei the mitzvah with regard to that item in particular. And their view in Bnei Rabbi Chiya is very similar to the Rambam, although in Rava it's different because over there they believe that the whole strings protect the strings that are cut to a koshu, whereas on the other hand the Rambam believes that the koshu strings are not ma'akev the whole strings. But in that way now they can have the Chachamim hold of Gardumim, in a limited fashion. They'll hold of the Bnei Rabbi Chiya's aspect of Gardumim, but not Rova's view, which is within the position of Rabbi. But at least in that way, the sugi is not just according to Rabbi, it's also according to the Chachamim. The Gemara continues, Zibailu, Kedei Lanvan Kulo Bahadodi. But it means to loop them or to knot them around, that it means all the strings. Or it means each string independently, if you can loop it on itself, or you can loop it or knot it on itself, that would be sufficient. Or leaves that as a teiko. It's not clear how much string you need to qualify as a string that will protect it for Gardumim. By Ravashi, Alime Zalome Anve, there are strings that are thick, and therefore you can't loop them or you can't knot them. If they were thinner strings, then you would be able to do it. So the length of the string is sufficient that if they were thinner strings, you'd be able to loop it back or knot it on itself. But because of their thickness, you can't do that. My, what's the din here? Samalei Rabacha braid the Rava the Ravashi, Koshkein the Minkar Mitzvatayu. Certainly it should be kosher over there. You're giving a minimum shiur because you want it to both have functionality. But more importantly, Uritemoto, you can still see the string. The string is still a part of the tzitzit. Then the string being thicker should only serve to emphasize or make it easier to see that string. So yes, it was a thinner string, you could knot it. But now it's a thicker string, and if it was thinner, you could knot it. That string or that size of string should be more visible and certainly should be more kasher. Uman Tana the Poligalei the Rabbi. Who's the Tana that argues on Rabbi and says that the Tchelet Enu Me'akebet et Alavan, Valavan Enu Me'akebet et Alavan? Hi Tana, who is this Tana? The Tanya Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Mishum Rabbi Natan. Shamar Mishum Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that's what Bali Tosfot mentioned, that Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who is Rabbi's Rebbe, argues on him. Shamar Mishum Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Ein lo Tchelet Matil Lavan. If you don't have Tchelet, you put in Lavan. So again, here you can read this one of two ways. Ein lo Tchelet, if you don't have Tchelet, you put in Lavan and just the two strings of Lavan in your Yotze. Or you can read Ein lo Tchelet, if you don't have Tchelet, you put in Lavan instead of the Tchelet. And you can see that in Rashi where he says Matil Lavan, Kol Adalet Chutim. You put all four strings in it as Lavan. That's Rashi the Shit Toto on the Mishnah. And this is where Rashi learns it from. He's reading this bright to me that when you don't have Tchelet, you replace the Tchelet with two white strings. Amar Rava. Rava says from here, Shma Mino, Tzarech Lishora Kol Chulya V'Chulya. You have to tie a knot on every wrapping. A Chulya is when you wrap the strings around the core enough that's going down. So the wrapping string, you see these coils that we wrap around? Today, with the all-white strings, we wrap them with 7 strings, 8 strings, then 11 and 13. Those are the 4 different coils or chuliot that you have. And then we make a knot between each of the chuliot. You can see that on your tzitzit that you have. Question is, do you need to tie knots between each of the chuliot? Eat the salkadat kalot tzarich. If you think you don't need knots between each of the chuliot, ha damri bnei rabbi chiya gardumei tchelet shirim. When they say that these residuals of the tchelet are kasher, yardumei ezov ksherim, and the residuals of the ezov are ksherim, kevan de ishtarilei ilai ishtarilei kula. Once the upper knot, according to Rashi, the upper knot means the one knot furthest away from the knaf, if that knot comes undone, then ishtarilei kula, the whole thing's going to come apart. And as Rashi said before, that the gardumim is a string that's near that knot at the bottom of the tzitzit. Gardumim come back there, it's going to unravel that knot, and then everything's going to fall apart. Elishmamina yesh kesher b'chol chulya. From this you can conclude that there is a knot between each of the chuliot, and therefore when that lower knot undoes, there's still going to be a gedil, which is the remaining gedil from the knots that are above it. And the proof is coming from the fact that the Rabbanei Rabbi Chiya said that gardumim tchelet and gardumei ezov ksherim, if you have a gardum, a leftover string that's cut all the way back, and that's going to allow for unraveling, then you need something to hold it in place. Otherwise, a gardum cannot be kosher, because then you won't have any gedil. This goes to the question of where are gardumim over here. Rashi says when the tear or the gardumim happen, they happen at the anaf. They happen towards the lower end of the tzitzit, meaning that the majority of the tzitzit are there, and then they're cut off where the plain strings are. So according to Rashi, the fear is that the string's going to get close to that knot at the bottom between the deal and the anaf, and then that's going to cause that knot to unravel. If that unravels, the whole deal comes out. So it must be that there are other knots along the way to hold the deal in place. The Bali Tosafot, on the other hand, think that the gardumim mean that not only the string's ripped here, they ripped almost all the way up near the part of the string that's going into the hole. It's obviously below that knot, but they have some string there that is very short.
But according to them, the Gardumim are way high up on the Beged, not down below. And you can see that in the Bali Tosvot Gnei Da'anvan. Tov Perish HaKuntris, the Bissamuch, Gamei Muchav, the Rabbah Tzarek Lushor, Kol HaChuyah. Mashma the Sfirlei, Daniva, Chutz Lekesh HaKaron, Shem Tzitzit. From Rashi, it seems like that the Gardumim are after the lower knots, I mean the Anaf, the strings that are hanging out. That's where you have Gardumim. Says, V'Tachen Yehutar Lefresh Lushor, Aniva, Samuch Leknaf Kamak. All the way up by the corner that is left. So Rashi says that the Gardumim here are a reference to the Anaf, the strings that are falling below the Gedil, whereas the Reed, the Balei Tosafot, say that it's a reference to the strings in the Gedil, how much you need left to have it be considered a Gedil, not how much it is for the Anaf. The Balei Tosafot, who think that the Gardum is something that goes way up, closer to the Kanaf, is giving the Sterile Eli, if a string goes all the way back, and that's the wrapping string, or that's the string that's holding things together here. We're to take the wrapping string and just loop it back into itself, which is the way that some of the Rishonim, like the Rambam, make their chuliot, is that you make the wrappings, then you take that string and roll it back into the chulia, and that's what locks it in place. If that's all that you did, and then there was a gardum, it got string, got cut or loose, then the whole thing would unwind itself because there's nothing holding it together once that string goes and gets cut far back up. Then the whole thing's going to unravel. And that's going to allow the Gedil to come apart. And again, so you need a knot to hold that in place. Because if you have a knot, then even independent of the looping back, those loops will stay in place because of the knotting down below. So you need a knot, not only at the top by the knot, you need a knot at the bottom of the Gedil to hold the Gedil in place in case one of the strings rips, but then the Gedil will still be in place. And the way Rashi suggests it is that shows you that you need a knot between each of the chuliot, because otherwise the chuliot would unravel when there's a gardumim. The Balei Tosafot disagree with that and say that all it shows you is that you need one knot on the top and one knot at the bottom. Because if you have one knot at the top, one at the bottom, all the chuliot will stay together. The fact that you need knots in between each of the chuliot, he says that's misvara. That's a logical reason why you would have to put a knot between each of them. Because then when the gardumim come, it's not going to automatically unravel the whole deal that is there. My answer is Dima Diktar. Maybe Rabbi Chiya would say, if you tied multiple knots, then Gardumim are fine. If you didn't tie multiple knots, then Gardumim are not fine. Doesn't mean that you have to tie a second knot. It's just saying, if you did tie a second knot, then Gardumim are fine. But had you not tied a second knot, then it would not be okay. Okay, we're going to stop here at the top of Lamed Tet, Amud Aleph.